So very happy to be here with our colleagues. Partnership is an important concept and to us at CDC. And I first want to highlight that it's not only important to the Division of STD Prevention, but it's important to our agency. Just so that you can hear our definition of partnership and why we think it's so critical for us to be successful in public health, and I really believe it for STDs because we know our level of funding is not going to get us very far. Partnership is a collaborative partnership is an alliance among people and organizations from multiple sectors. In public health, collaborative partnerships seek to improve conditions and outcomes related to health and well-being of entire communities. So our agency director, Dr. Frieden, in his article of the public health impact pyramid, where he is really expecting us to increase our impact on this pyramid and moving away from sort of the individual approaches that have smaller impact to more long-lasting protective interventions and changing the context to make individuals' default decision the healthy decision. And one way to do that is through partnerships. So in that article, and it's quoted, Dr. Frieden said, the biggest obstacle to making fundamental societal change is often not the shortage of funds, but lack of political will, and the health sector is well positioned to build the support and develop the partnerships required for this change. We also have gone through a strategic planning process within our division, and it is now up internally on our website as a draft and going through clearance. We did get partner input, and we really appreciated the partners that were able to come to our meeting and provide input. This is not a national strategic plan. This is an internal document for our division to guide us and to hold ourselves accountable. It is a living document. And I just want to share with you, we have a section on values, and two of our values include collaboration, which is teamwork and interdisciplinary problem-solving both internally and externally, and we also value diversity. We want a broad range of intellectual, cultural, and experiential perspectives. We believe they're essential to achieving our mission and creating a stimulating, dynamic, and rewarding environment. Within our strategic plan, we obviously have mission and goals, and we want to reduce STDs, morbidity, and incidence and disparities. But we have five objectives, and I think it's important to note that one of our five objectives relates to partnership. We want to develop and leverage partnerships for STD prevention. And the key activities that we're focusing on right now are increasing the number of unconventional, novel, and unique partnerships to improve the sexual health of adolescents and young adults, and to increase the number of STD screenings among historically hard-to-reach and high-risk subpopulations. Our second activity is to leverage partnerships to increase the proportion of men who have sex with men and transgender women to ensure that they're receiving the quality STD prevention services that they deserve. So for a long time, our key partners at CDC have been ASHA, ASTDA, and NCSD. We do have regularly scheduled calls that we are having at the moment on a quarterly basis, and maybe after we realize there's more that we can do together, we'll increase the frequency back to maybe every other month. Everyone's busy because we know partnerships are hard and they take time. So this is where we've been really, you know, looking within these organizations. I think we have very common missions, and we recognize that, as we've recognized by having a collaborative conference and no longer having a CDC conference, that we are all better for that. So again, we are trying to support conditions and behaviors that promote the health of communities and individuals and mitigate those that are harmful. And we really also are starting to really push the public-private partnership so we can better understand the access to healthcare services and ensure that people are getting those services that they deserve. I do want to take a little bit of time just to share with you some other partnerships that we've been working on. One of the things that CDC can do is convene meetings and get people to come and learn from a diverse group of individuals. And so we really try to do this. We've had some interesting work in the area of integration of primary care and public health. We work with NACHO and ASTO and NAC and NCSD and CDC. We had one meeting where we brought together the primary care association director, the Medicaid directors, the health officer, and the STD director to kind of talk about how can we start working better together to ensure that patients are getting the services they deserve within the healthcare sector. And believe it or not, we had people from one city and nobody knew each other. So we actually hopefully have encouraged them to go back to their areas and continue the relationship that we've built. We have a Medicaid project to advance innovative ways to pay for STD services. Again, we're working with Mississippi, Rhode Island, the state of Washington. And we had a unique situation, I think many of you know, with the challenges of the bankruptcy of Detroit. They had to close their STD clinic. And when they closed their STD clinic, they started seeing rising syphilis as well as congenital syphilis and realized this was not going in the right direction. So we facilitated working with Detroit and the Michigan Health Department and involved NACHO and NAC and CDC and the city of Detroit and the local CBOs. And most importantly, they had one of the world's leading STD experts sitting at their local university. And he actually has come to the table now and has actually built an academic public health partnership and is offering the STD services through the academic institution. And so it's saving the local health department a lot of resources. They no longer had to open up and rebuild an STD clinic structure. Probably the other thing that we've been doing, we like coalitions. That's sort of a way partners can come together and bring their own ideas and move things forward in the direction that they would like to see. One of the first coalitions in the division was the National Chlamydia Coalition, and you can see the number of professional organizations, non-governmental organizations, federal organizations, public health entities, healthcare providers, test manufacturers, and academics that participated. And really the goal here was to move forward the unmet level of chlamydia screening for young sexually active women in this country. The coalition is still going, but we've got some other coalitions happening, so we're also trying to merge our efforts in these initiatives. Part of one of the activities of the National Chlamydia Coalition was sort of this launching of the GYT Get Yourself Tested campaign, which on an annual basis cost our division $35,000. That shows what partnerships can do. This was a partnership that started originally with Kaiser Family Foundation and with Planned Parenthood. And I just want to give you an example. The American College Health Association came to the table and working, you know, with us, but they really did all the hard work in the college. They really moved forward with sexual health education and a clinical care coalition that really promoted GYT among their schools. And there's actually been some interesting data showing the impact of these efforts. We also are very excited about the work that the National Coalition of Sexual Health is doing. Again, a 80-member organization today. We just had an annual meeting a couple weeks ago. They're doing some really phenomenal work around health communication and sexual health, and we encourage, for those of you who are not familiar with this coalition, to go to their website and look at all the exciting work that's being done. We've also made an effort to work with our historically black colleges and medical schools and have developed medical curriculum that our national network of training centers is maintaining to be up to date. And more recently, we developed a Healthy Sisters, Healthy Brother, Healthy Relationship curriculum, because that seems to be what students wanted. They didn't want the STD curriculum. They want healthy relationships. And we started a pilot at Morehouse College in August of 2015, and really Morehouse was launching it. And recently have connected with an organization called The Lynx, a group of African-American women that now they have actually gotten 10 more historically black colleges involved in this initiative and getting this curriculum out. So again, it just shows what can bloom when you start bringing people together and moving forward. I'm a great believer that the federal government can also do well when it partners with other agencies, and I would say that we in the division have made an effort. That means getting on a plane and going to Washington, because many people do not come to Atlanta to meet with us. And we're working closely with NIH to make sure that the great research projects that are being funded by NIH are supporting our public health interests. We have always had a close relationship with the Office of Population Affairs. We're now working more closely with FDA on finding ways that we can bring new diagnostics and therapeutics into the market. We've got close relationships at HRSA with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, the HIV/AIDS Bureau, the Bureau of Primary Care, and the Office of Women's Health, and then obviously we're actively involved in the NHS strategy in terms of advancing the AIDS strategy, and there are about five health indicators or indicators in that strategy that relate to STDs. So I want to kind of close with just generally reminding everyone that partnerships are complex. Don't get frustrated. The social science and health policy literature argues that such differences frequently have to do with degrees of and rights to power in the relationships related to decision making and resource allocation. So if you're having some arguments, you better look at your decision making structure and the resource allocation. And that especially relationships between government institutions and partners can be sort of symbiotic and adversarial. I think we had Bill's little article he shared with us from a conference in 2006, with events or opportunities continuing coloring or governing our interactions. So again, we see a lot of benefits of collaborative models. We see how we can expand our resources, we can improve our data, and we can expand our reach. And I'll stop or sort of end with a great quote from Henry Ford when he once said, "Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is the progress. Working together is the success." And so I hope that we really can continue. I think we're making great progress, but I think there's a lot more that we can do, and I look forward to working with all of you and continue to working with the partners that we've been working with for a while. So thank you very much.